Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hello, everyone. This is Jenny. In this episode of the Cathedral Podcast, I have with me Kenneth and Huiwen, founders of Studio Asobi. Hi, Kenneth. Hi, Huiwen.
Hello.
So glad you can be with us and so glad that your precious bundle, Toby, is well cared for by your parents so that you can have this conversation with us about what's been going on in your life, you know. Kenneth and Huiwen founded Studio Asobi several years ago. But before that, they had a previous life. Kenneth was an architect and Huiwen was in real estate. So I wanted to start off by asking them how, you know, they, what pottery means to them that, you know, caused them to make that plunge to start the studio. So Kenneth, why don't you go first? What is pottery to you?
I actually used to learn pottery when I was pretty young in secondary school. So I really enjoyed it. At that time, pottery didn't really mean anything to me. It's just something to play with. You know, I like to create and all that.
You get to be outside your classroom.
And I loved it. I loved it. In school, it was like a sanctuary for me, you know, to just play with the clay and all that. But I think when we met and we fell in love, we got married, pottery then became this thing that really helped us in the beginning years of our marriage. I think because we found that in our careers we were just very busy, and we didn't have the chance to date as much as we used to when we were dating, and so we started off taking pottery classes because I love pottery and I wanted to show off a bit to Huiwen, you know. Okay. So we took out some pottery classes and I think it really was something that we both enjoyed a lot. It was a great break from work, from the stress. It calmed us down and it's just really good bonding. And only after we started really going into doing pottery professionally did I start to think more about what pottery means. But I think at that time when we started off, it was really just something that we enjoyed a lot.
But it's always good to go towards the place of joy in your life.
Yes, yes.
And you discovered that when you were younger, which is a real gift from God. What about you? Do you agree with him? Was this dating thing what did it for you?
I guess it's different because since young, he has always been very artsy. Like, I mean, very good in art, but I didn't take any art lessons. I was a humanities student, so I enjoyed art on a very intellectual level, you know. I enjoyed looking at good art. I love books. I love to watch dance and all that, but I was not participative in art. So when he introduced me to pottery, I think what I really felt was that, wow, like for the first time I can make something with my own hands. And that was quite a precious experience that I didn't have before.
Because before that you were like a consumer of art.
Yes, you were a creator. And right? I always wish, you know, I always admire people who can make things with their own hands, you know, and I wanted to be like them, but I didn't have that opportunity until I touched clay and then I realized that it's so accessible, you know, for my first lesson I could really make a mark that I could use, right? So I think that was very exciting to me. And over these years, I just find that working with our own hands is something that in our modern society, we don't get to do so much because we're always on our phones, we're on our, you know, like computers. But there's just something very innately refreshing about just touching something, you know, touching some raw materials with your own hands and then transforming it to something different. And that I think is what pottery did for me.
Yeah, I always get that image from what you're describing about the creation scene where God was like gathering the dust and he was just molding this man out of it. So when we work with our hands, it's almost like this, you know, like returning to the image of God in us, that divine spark of doing something which, you know, we have lost touch now when we use mediums like technology and all that all the time.
Yeah, and I think for me as a potter, now I really get to see a lot more vividly what the Bible talks about God as the potter and us humans as the clay. If I didn't touch clay, I think I wouldn't have really appreciated this image as much. So, you know, day to day, you know, all those things that you were saying just now, gathering the dust, clay is sometimes dust when it's dry, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's soft. And I think that's something that I really get to, I enjoy experiencing all the time as I work with the clay.
Just the different textures.
Yeah.
How does that relate? Tell us a bit more about how does that relate to that passage you are alluding to in Jeremiah, where God compares himself to a potter.
I think that I see it differently at different times. Sometimes I focus on the clay a lot more when I am thinking about myself. And, you know, clay, when it is, before a potter starts to work on the clay, often it's pretty hard. And it's, it just sits there and it wants to be a lump.
Yeah, it's very happy. It's just a stiff lump.
Yeah, and if you don't do anything to it, it's very content to be a lump sitting there. And the potter has to add quite a lot of water into the clay for it to first get soft. And after that, to start listening to the potter, so that idea of adding water to the clay to soften it, it's a little bit like softening our heart hearts. And a lot of times, you know, when I'm the potter sitting there and doing that to the clay, it really forces me to think, okay, so you know, where have I been hard? Hard of hearing, and where is
and just
God?
A lump.
Yeah, just a lump, and very content. You know, I'm very happy to be like this, and sometimes those hard knocks that I'm getting or the pressures that I'm getting from God, it helps me to reflect. Maybe God is making me into something beautiful.
Yes.
Just that I don't know it yet. I'm unhappy about it, or you know, I get frustrated because. I'm just very content to be the state that I am in.
Yeah.
So I
but
really
I think the watering is still quite nice. It's the it's the pinching and the pressing, but nothing can compare with the firing, right? The firing stage
and,
of things.
And only quite recently, as there was one time I was just putting the pieces into the kiln, and so clay actually goes through two rounds of firing in order to give the potter chance to add the glaze, to add the colors. And so it has to go to a temperature of 1,200
or above
that temperature. And it's, you know, I just feel like that idea of going through the fire, of being refined, before that, you really cannot see much of the beauty of the clay. Only after it's fired, then it transforms. There's really this transformative aspect after the clay is put through the fire.
So no matter how good or how skilled you are as a potter, the end result always has an element of surprise for you, right?
Yes, it's especially now when I am experimenting with glazes. I think I really, when we don't buy commercial glazes and we have to do it ourselves, we really get surprised all the time. I may be thinking that a particular formula is going to give me a certain color, a certain texture, and then it comes out totally different, and I have no idea why it's doing that. And it's very exciting because I know eventually I will get close to knowing some of the reasons, but as a human potter, I will never completely be able to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But then when I think of God, you know, being the master potter of our lives and he knows exactly what's going to happen, I think that's very amazing.
Yeah, and very assuring.
Yes.
As well. So what about for you, Huiwen?
Yeah, I mean, just to add on, something that often surprises people when they ask how long does it take for a piece to be done, is that they're often surprised by how long it takes. Because no matter how skilled you are as a potter, actually after you finish the piece, you need to let it dry for a couple of days. And depending on how big the piece is or how many fragile parts it has, you need to let the whole piece dry evenly before you can actually put it to fire. So that takes a process. And then the firing takes a day. It takes another day for it to cool down. If you use a very large kiln, it might take 3 days to fire and 3 days to cool down. My. And then you add on the glaze. And to me, this is like sanctification, you know. There's this process, and there's this process of just waiting.
Yeah, you can't shortcut it.
Yeah, you can't shortcut it, because to transform clay into ceramic, that the nature of that clay has changed. And right. I think that in certain sense is what kind of God does with us as well, with this new nature. And then there is that glaze process where you add on the colors. And to me, that's like glorification, right? Like, who knows what our renewed bodies will look like? You know, nobody knows except for God. And that's what happens when, you know, we go through that second round of firing. So to me, it's very beautiful that there's this process that just takes a long time, and that you just wait, you know. And
wow.
Yeah.
How does that impact how you think about time, or how you think about life, and, you know, mortality, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we both have encountered very close examples of how life is very temporal and very fragile. My own dad passed away when I was just 19, so he was 53. You know, he had that aunt who passed away in her 40s. And so we are very aware that you can't take for granted that you have all the time in your world, or, okay, you know, I'll retire and then I do something. Because who knows? I mean, we even had a friend who died at 30. So to us, there is this sense that truly we are not in control of the length of our lives and time. And that we really need to understand how to use it well.
Like what the psalmist says, right?
To have this heart of wisdom.
Cultivating a heart of wisdom to number our days.
Yes.
But it's interesting you say that, because you're actually involved in a work that is slow and painstaking and requires patience. Whereas I know some people who have encountered mortality, the death of their friends or relatives, and they come back in life and say, oh, then I have to live life urgently, you know. But your response is somewhat different, probably shaped by the pottery that you are doing as well. Yeah, so that's very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's both. Going into pottery is also because we really wanted to spend more time with our family. And having a home business gives us this opportunity to just leave our job at any time when there is an urgent need.
Right.
And we don't have to
apply leave.
Yeah, I kind of have to apply leave with Huiwen. Yeah, but
okay, who's the boss here?
Toby is the boss.
Yeah, but I think aside from that, in a way, it is because we want to also live life a little bit more urgently. We don't want to push the important things to us to right at the end when you don't really know whether you actually have the time to do what you want. But then as we get into pottery, we also realize that it forces us to slow down. You know, we can't, you know, when we are letting something dry, we just have to wait. We can't ask the pot to dry faster, you know, or it will crack, you know, if we do it too fast. Yeah. So there's always this tension.
Yes.
And it forces us to get a little bit out of our comfort zone, because I think we are both not that patient.
That's everybody in Singapore.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to think that I'm more patient than Huiwen, but I think maybe it's more like I'm lazy, you know, like rather than I'm patient, you know. So, but yeah, it causes us to have a little bit of that tension and that reminder to slow down.
Yeah. And does this impact your parenting too, you know, because parenting can be a really high stress, and parenting in Singapore seems to be such a overwhelming experience for most people. Like, there's so much to get done, and there's a certain frenzy when you have work and you have a child. And how does where you are right now and this tension you have, do you think it's shaped the way you're parenting Toby?
Yes, I think that for us, I mean, we are very new parents, first-time parents. So it has been just 18 months, you know, since he arrived. And I think that for us, it has been ups and downs, and just learning how we are supposed to flow with this. I mean, for myself as a mom, there was a period that when he was not sleeping, when he was like waking up every 2 hours, I was just like, God, is this your design? What am I supposed to do? And I felt very stressed, honestly, because I have a kind of like, I run a home business with Kenneth, right? We don't have any employees, so it's just two of us. We don't have a helper. And so, you know, we have the housework. That's 100%. And then we have the home business that's 100%. And then we have our church ministry that's 100%. And that's where there's a child that's 100%. And these are really like full time.
Yes.
You know, they really take a lot of time and energy. So how are we to navigate these commitments? And I think that for us, I mean, after, you know, 18 months and all that, I think now we really are enjoying parenthood in the sense that we understand that this period when he's so young is very fleeting and transient. Really, you know, we see so many changes.
Yeah.
And that, and so when, you know, in the mornings when we, when you know, we take him out to the playground, we just go and play, right? And then when he's napping, then we get our work done. So I think we have learned to really pare down our commitments as well, that things that can be delayed or things that we can don't take up for now, we just don't take it up so that we can make sure that we give him that time
and it's attention. About priorities.
And it's something that's very joyful because I think for Kenneth especially, like there's so few dads that we see with their child on a weekday, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we hope that Toby, you know, we'll look back next time and think that, oh, you know, it was so fun. I had both my parents, you know, spend time with me.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Yeah.
I spoke to a fellow brother in Christ before. He is one of our, you know, cell group leaders, you know, and he was reflecting about how upset he was at himself for scolding his kid. And he was actually scolding the kid because he was late for a cell leaders meeting. And so it's actually not anybody's fault. It's not the kid's fault. It's not the father's fault, you know, and it's not the fault of the person who arranged the meeting at a particular time. But sure. I think that many times the circumstances forces us to be in a hurry.
Yes.
You know, like we need to get to this thing and why is the kid not eating? And so we have so many competing needs, right? Because we need to feed the kid, you know, and all
and,
that.
And
so,
they don't eat like clockwork.
Yeah.
Especially when you need to rush.
Yes.
It just especially, always happens that way,
especially
right?
when they need to sleep, especially when not. So I feel that doing this business has helped us to really slow down so that we at least have less urgent needs at any point in time so that we don't really have to, through no fault of the child or our own, right, get angry, you know, or get upset because of this time pressure. And it's because pottery, a lot of times you have to wait. There's nothing much you can do about it. Yeah. So then it gives us time to spend time with our family. Mm. Yeah, but I think that is also there is a price. The very clear price is money.
Yeah.
Because we made a very intentional decision to tell ourselves, if I'm going to prioritize all the aspects of my life, I think the earning money aspect cannot take precedence over God, cannot take precedence over spending time with our family.
Yeah.
So we running a business enables us to earn just enough. I've realized that as a corporate employee, I can't really tell my boss, you pay me like 40%. I work 40%, you know, because I want to spend the 60% of my time with my family. But with a business, I think we are fortunate to be able to adjust our time.
I think just to add on a bit to his earlier point about being in a hurry, I think it's something that we observed when I was pregnant. You know, sometimes we eat at coffee shops and then we see parents scolding their children, and it's just like, hurry up, we're all very late, you better quickly eat your food, stop wandering around. And I mean, again, you know, this is not to criticize parents, because at times it's really that, you know, they really need to get somewhere and then they're very late. And
you do need to teach kids some discipline.
Yes. But we also understand that sort of anger that very easily comes with being in a hurry.
Yeah, when you're run by the clock.
Yes, it's very stressful for the parent and the child. So I think that was something that we observed, and then we said, okay, you know, let's try not to always be in a hurry, you know, as much as we can, you know, we just try to take things easy and as much as we can.
Not easy.
It's not easy because you are living in a society that has certain values and all that. So how has pottery changed you personally in terms of your own relationship with God and as a person or even for your marriage? Because actually that's where I started, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that for myself, because I started the studio, you know, in a way first before Kenneth came on board. It was after a year of sabbatical break, and I felt like during that time, I could really clear up a lot of, in a way, mental baggage about what it really means to live life in a place like Singapore.
Mm.
So when I was taking my sabbatical, when I didn't have a paycheck, when I didn't know what I was going to do next, when when you have like full control of your time, which is both a privilege, but also, you know, it can also be really scary. Then I have to really confront a lot of what is really in my heart. So, you know, about my identity, right? Like, who am I without all of these things? You know, can I really trust in God? What's the whole purpose of life and all of that? So, to me, going on this pottery journey is really about understanding who God is and then finding ourselves in who God is and who God intends us to be. So I find that that's to me is the biggest blessing. And of course that we now get to work on something, you know, make things with our own hands, you know, bless people with it and have flexibility of time. All these things are great stuff. But to me, I mean, it still goes back to how has God made us and what is God calling us to do and to really walk in that.
Yeah.
I think for me, I always feel like something has to make us happy. If we are not happy, at least with something, lah, you know, we find it very, very hard to love others.
Yeah.
It will be
life
a drain.
Life will be such a drudgery, yeah, isn't it? You need to find joy.
Yeah. And people still love when they are going through sorrow and hardship and all that. But it takes a lot out of a person. So I do want to be happy, you know, and I think that pottery really makes me happy. I feel so happy when I can create something that I never knew I could create.
Mm.
When I can formulate a color that makes me feel amazed at colors in general, you know, and at the creation of God. And when I'm happy, it really very, very positively impacts my marriage, how I look at my child, how I look at my parents. And so I think for me that is the chief impact that pottery has for me. And I think that everybody can find something, you know, I feel we were quite fortunate, really, to kind of stumble upon this. And I hope for a lot of my friends that they can find something.
Yeah,
it may not be their work, but
But when you are describing it, what I'm hearing is there is a sense of childlike wonder.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Pottery draws that out of you, which a good paying architecture job somehow didn't do it for you.
Yeah, so, talking about architecture.
I mean, there are architects who find a great joy doing blueprints, but that's not for you.
Yes. When I went for a silent retreat a few years back, I was very shocked that during the retreat, in 2 days' time, I drew so many pictures. And then I asked myself, when I was an architect, I had been an architect for 2 years at that time, how many drawings did I make? I did make a lot of drawings, but there were a lot of lines and doors and, you know, and they weren't drawings that I did for myself or to just create beauty. And I was like, wow, in 2 years, I didn't draw a single thing that brought me pleasure.
Mm.
But in those 2 days, when I just took a break, I drew so many drawings, you know, and I think for me that being in this line, doing pottery has really enabled me to create really just for the sake of appreciating beauty and then enjoying that whole process. Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. So tell us more about what is going on at SOB. I mean, you guys have done big and small projects and community projects, you know. Mm. What is your vision going forward? And what have been some really enjoyable, you know, surprises, delights you've experienced as a business owner, and some really heartbreaking difficulties, perhaps?
I think, okay, we talk about the enjoyment parts first. I really like to talk about enjoying myself.
We have here a joy ambassador.
I think I used to be a very introverted person. I say used to
you
be.
You don't say, yes, indeed.
Yeah, because I still feel like it's difficult for me to meet new people. But I think at this moment, I can't really say that I'm an introvert anymore because I've come to realize that each time we run our workshops, midway through the workshop, I will realize that I'm enjoying it very much. Usually before the workshop starts, I feel like a lot of pressure. It's a bit daunting to meet new people. But yeah, I think that pottery has, and running workshops, you know, teaching others has given me this chance to interact with people and to find joy in doing that. And to reverse my kind of self-characterization that I don't like people, you know, right. I'm just an introvert. You know, I should just be alone and all that. So I think this is one thing that I feel very blessed. And I'm very grateful to Hui Wen for really pushing this desire to run workshops, to reach out to others.
Sometimes your wife can see some things you can't.
Yeah. She's always dragging me to meet people, and I used to really hate it. And I think the other thing that I really enjoy is, like I said just now, making new things, creating new forms, and creating new glazes, and I think being able to discover these things really makes me feel this sense of excitement and also anticipation about what's gonna come next.
Yeah, I think for me it's a bit different because naturally I'm more extroverted, so I really love meeting people and you know, one of the joys from our pottery work is that we meet really a lot of very, very interesting people, whether it's fellow artists or people who just come for our workshops or just other people that because of the nature of our work, we come into contact. And I think for all the projects that we really enjoy, it's always the clients. It's always the people that make that piece of work really, really fun and interesting, you know, for us.
And well, what is it about the people? Is it something you witness a change come over them as they are engaged in the pottery, or?
I don't know. I'm just very interested in people. So I think I mean, one example would be because of our work, we are potters. So we were someone came to our workshop and then he said, "Oh, you know, you should get connected with this guy. You know, he's a carpenter. He's young, and then you know, you guys should just like meet because you are both in the crafts." So we say, "Okay, you know, we will go meet him. Right? He's Morgan from Rogers and Son." And then we went to his office and he was just like a really nice guy. He just took over the family business because his dad passed away and he's Christian. And the girl that he was with was not Christian at that time. So in that short car ride where he kind of dropped us off, there was just this opening where you know, we talked about ourselves as Christians and that I used to be from a Buddhist family. So that's kind of sparked off a conversation. And in the end, I was in the short car ride of like 5 minutes, I invited, you know, them to Alpha. And they came. And in the end, she accepted Christ. And then we are still, you know, great friends with Morgan. And he has like helped us so much, you know, with his carpentry work. Just technical, you know, kind of like with his wood and all of these things. So I mean, that's just one example of how we have been just so blessed by people we meet and who knows what God really has in store, you know, when we meet some people. There have been conversations with workshop participants where they come and sit and then, you know, we spend 2-3 hours talking about life and you know, their struggles about wanting to really do something they want to do as well, but they're so afraid. And so we are able to just have conversations with people. Nice. And I think that's something that really gives me a lot of energy. I mean, in terms of doing pottery, it doesn't come as easily for me as for him because he's really a lot more artsy. But I think for me, the joy is whenever I feel led that, okay, I you know, today I have this feeling that I need to just express out in clay, and then I make it, and then I'm just like, wow, like it's so amazing that I managed to make something that I find to be quite beautiful, and so I think that in and by itself is quite a reward from God. Yeah, so I think that's personally my own joys from doing pottery.
Yeah, I really love what you describe about the couple of hours people are there and then the conversations that just in that relaxed atmosphere, it just gets deep. Yes. Which is such a rarity in Singapore because we in a busy city, people are always rushing here and there. And sometimes even in church, you know, it's just the high and the buys and, you know.
In Pottery, so, they have no choice because their hands are dirty, they can't touch
their
phones.
They can't go anywhere. Yeah.
It's a captive audience.
But what has been encouraging for me also is I've been discovering that although Singapore is such a concrete jungle and we've had generations, you know, I mean, well, the government has put in quite a lot of effort to try to boost the creative arts and all that. But we are seeing the fruit of that in some ways. But we're also seeing an interesting move of God, you know, that there are a lot of creatives, a lot of people who are interested in, you know, so it's like we have carpenters, we have potters, we have, you know, not just the web designers, but the people who really work with their hands, you know?
Yes.
And that's very fascinating. It's something that maybe most of us don't think of as associated with Singapore. I remember maybe, I hate to say how long ago this was, but a long time ago, I had some friends from Europe who visited and, you know, we were at Marina Square, they were looking at all the wood panels and one of them who is a carpenter turned and asked me, this is a German carpenter, he says, where are the carpenters in Singapore? And I'm like, carpenters? You know, and I have been raised in our system. The word carpenter is Jesus, you know. It's just no carpenter in my knowledge, you know. So it's I mean, that's my ignorance, lah. But it's really fun also to see that now we're giving place to all this. And your journey is
encouraging. Yeah, I really feel like we've been doing this for 5 years. And I do see that God is really moving this area. I mean, a lot of times when people come for our workshops, because we run one-time workshops, right? So we see a lot of new people. And we'll ask them, you know, what made you decide to try our pottery? And they'll be like, oh, I always wanted to do this, you know. And so I feel like, When the Bible says that we're made in the image of God, there's this desire to create that is planted so deep within us and it can be expressed in many ways, like cooking, gardening, anything that you do, you know, and we really see that through the people who come, you know, they can be from all walks of lives and they have this kind of desire that I really want to create, but I don't know how, I'm not good in arts, you know, that's usually the narrative. And I feel like part of our work is really to also tell people that hey, you know, actually
you can
try and you know that you can. So I think that's part of kind of like our joy as well.
I'm
always very amazed at the works that people create. And a lot of these people are beginners. In fact, the ones who are not beginners actually find it a little bit harder to be creative because, you know, you are already taught something.
Yes.
But a lot of the beginners, you know, when we run workshops, everyone is different, you know, and when we fire, we are the ones who first get to see how their works turn out. And I'm really always amazed at what people can do, even if their teachers tell them that their art is not good, you know. But talking about the vision, I was just thinking about it that last time raised kind of like in a corporate environment, we always think about vision as something for the company to become. And I realized that for us, because Studio Asobi is so tied to our lives, that if I were to think of what Studio Asobi should become, then it gets a little bit divorced from who we are. And then it feels a little bit strange for me. So, you know, when I think about how we want to carry this forward, I always feel like we need to continue to just enjoy it. My vision for 30 years down the road is for me to still enjoy what we are doing.
Wow.
And who knows, maybe it may not be exactly what we are doing right now. But I think the experience of really taking joy from whether it's teaching people or making new things, or whatever God leads us to. I think that I do want to hold on to that desire to enjoy. Yeah.
Well said.
Our 1.5-year-old son, right, Toby, I think he's teaching us a lot. You know, just this playfulness, right, as a little child. You know, just being fearless and just being excited and just being filled with wonder and curiosity. I think that's something that that we hope that we can become more and more like a little little children, you know, to really just yeah, I mean, kind of have that playful spirit. In fact, the word asobi actually means play,
right,
in Japanese, and the kanji character actually means journey in Mandarin. So in a way, it is about that, like kind of like being having this playful experiment through life. Yeah.
Yeah, and a journey of joy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Journey of deepening joy.
Mm. I think that being able to do this business, it's really not by ourselves, because we receive really a lot of help, a lot of encouragement, and also kind of spiritual motivation from the people around us, our church community, and our family as well. So I, you know, just a thought for anyone who is thinking of starting a business, going in a different direction. I think there's a tendency for, at least for me, you know, growing up in a Singaporean Chinese family, there's a tendency to want to do things by ourselves, to be independent, self-sufficient, don't rely on other people. Mm. And that is so difficult, you know, it makes life so difficult when we have to build up so much redundancy in our lives just so that we don't have to ask someone for help.
Yeah.
But, you know, people give us things for our baby. Mm-hmm. People, you know, help us with money, with funds for our business and so on. And I really gladly receive because it also helps us to gladly give to other people.
Yeah.
So I think having a community, and really appreciating that community, and in a way using that community, utilizing, I guess, the love around us, is, I feel, very important to us.
Yeah, I think there are very many things in life that cannot be measured monetarily. And one of it is just the quality of our life, because we allow other lives to intersect and impact and give towards us.
Yeah.
And we learn to receive and learn to give. Yeah. Mm. Thank you for bringing up that point. Very important.
I think apart from the human factor, you know, there's God as well, whom I feel like for our own journey in Studio Asobi, it has been that when we take a step of faith, then God kind of comes in and does certain things, and that gives us like that extra faith to move on. And so, I mean, yeah, to anyone who doesn't really know kind of like what they should do, I mean, just take small steps of to try, you know, just try and see and kind of see what God shows you. And because that has been the case for us, you know, no business plan, no advertising, no whatever. I mean, everything is kind
or they can head out to Asobi Studio and as they are, you know,
have a cup of coffee,
and chat with you guys, and something might surface from the depths of their soul, and they can gain clarity. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us again.
Thank you.
So everyone, that's Kenneth and Huiwen from Studio Asobi. Go visit their studio and you will have a jolly meaningful time. God bless everyone.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.